Some people kind of have this idea of, well, I'm either born content or born discontent. It's just my personality. No, it's something that you can learn. You can learn contentment.
This is Straight Talk.
You're listening to Straight Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, here in the studio with author and senior pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church. Pastor Mark, I got to say, my kids, I just love being a dad, and my kids, they have so many toys, and my son, he just got more toys, and he wants more toys. And I keep saying, Isaac, these toys, why can't you be happy with what you have? What is his problem?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like it's just your son's problem. It sounds like it's the problem of so many adults as well. And so today we're going to be talking about the secret of contentment. No matter who you are listening to my voice today, you struggle with periods of discontentment. That sense inside of you that I'm not happy with the home that I live in, the spouse that I'm married to, the car that I drive, the salary that I get, the weather that I have to put up with, just this sense of not being content. And so the Apostle Paul today is really talking to us about not passivity, because there's a difference between passivity and contentment, but what it means to have this spirit of well-being about us regardless of what our circumstances look like.
What a needed thing. I mean, how sad is that? To have so much, to continue to get more, and to really never truly be satisfied.
Absolutely. And what the Apostle Paul tells us really here is that contentment is an attitude that we can learn. Most of us blame our discontentment on our circumstances, and we say, if my circumstances were different, I would be content. But until my circumstances change, I will be discontent. The Apostle Paul debunks that right away, and the Word of God tells us, no, contentment is a choice no matter what your circumstances.
I love that. I love that. I feel less powerless, that there is something that I can do, there's something that I can learn that can change this circumstance even within me. Thank you, Pastor Mark. This is Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, and it's called The Secret of Contentment. Let's go there now.
Right now, at this moment, whether you have a nasty attitude or a positive attitude, it's all about what choices you have made this morning. And so I hope that you grasp that and understand that. And today we want to talk about the secret of contentment. Recently I read about a cemetery in England. There's a grave, a husband and a wife buried side by side. And on the inscription on the wife's grave marker, the words say, "She died for want of things." And right beside her husband's grave, the inscription says, "He died trying to give them to her." And you know, what I've discovered about contentment and discontentment is that it's a malady that we all face. It's something that we all struggle with, isn't it? That idea of trying to stay content when there's a lot of pressures around us telling us why we should be discontent. In fact, advertisers are paid a lot of money. Millions of dollars go into ideas as to how to make you discontent with what you have. Because advertisers know that they need to try to make you feel like, hey, I won't be happy until I buy the product that they're selling. Whether it's deodorant or Bud Light beer, I mean, it's all saying, hey, get this and you'll be happy. Even the deodorant commercials, you know, a guy puts deodorant on and suddenly he's in a sports car with two gorgeous women beside him. And you think, wow, now that's what I need. And I won't be happy until I use that deodorant. And so there's all kinds of pressures in people and thoughts going through our mind that lead us to the valley of discontentment. The Apostle Paul is talking to the believers about what it means to be content and what the secret of contentment is. And so if you're in your Bibles, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verses 10, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 13 of Philippians chapter 4. Now Paul says, verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. I love that because he's saying, I rejoice. Here's the word again, I rejoice. Now remember, rejoice is the verb form of what? Of joy. So when he says, I rejoice, he means I'm taking action on the attitude of joy. I rejoice in what? I rejoice in the Lord. Here's what I want you to understand. That one thing that never changes, one thing that is constant, consistent, dependable, that you can always count on, is that God is here, and God is good. So Paul says, I rejoice, but I don't just rejoice in some positive thinking. I rejoice in the Lord, because I can always rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Oh, I love that verse. So the Apostle Paul starts out by telling him to rejoice. He says, hey, I'm really happy. I rejoice in the Lord. He says, in fact, you guys have actually sent a gift. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. That word renew in the Greek is the word that means to flourish. It's the same word that they would use when a tree in the springtime was budding again. He says, hey, this has sort of been dormant, but at last it's being renewed again. It's flourishing like a flower that opens up. He says, again, your heart has been opened and you've again renewed your desire to give a gift. Now, what gift was Paul talking about? Paul was talking about the gift that Epaphroditus had brought him. Epaphroditus, if you remember, was a member of the church of Philippi, and they had loaded him up with gifts and had sent him 800 miles to find Paul, who was in prison in Rome, and Epaphroditus had brought Paul gifts on behalf of the church of Philippi. And so Paul is saying, I'm so happy that you have renewed again your giving. Paul was like a missionary, and so oftentimes he depended on the support of the churches that he started. Now it's interesting to note as we read this passage and study the church that no other churches, Paul says later on, helped in giving but the church of Philippi. There's obviously a problem when none of the churches were giving except the church of Philippi. And he says, hey, you have given this gift to support me and I'm rejoicing in it. Indeed, you have been concerned. He says, hey, you have always cared about me and you've been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now, we don't know if maybe they lost track of Paul. This was before emails and telephone calls. And so Paul was out there starting churches, preaching the gospel, and it looks like they had lost track of Paul or hadn't had an opportunity to give to Paul, but finally they had sent another gift to Paul. Verse 11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. He said, wait a second. I'm glad that you're giving, but let me make it clear. I'm not saying I'm glad you're giving because I can't pay my bills. I want to make sure that you know that it's not because I can't, because I'm in need or I'm lacking. I'm glad you're giving. Later on, he says, I'm glad you're giving because it's good for you to give. You see, some of us haven't understood that there's something that happens when we give that opens up the spiritual realm and we grow when we give. Let me tell you, the people that don't grow are people that never release of their time, of their love, of their energy, of their finances. People that stagnate are people that never give. And if you want the quickest, shortest shortcut to non-growth, is just don't give. Don't help. Don't be concerned. Don't give. Don't release. And you will soon find yourself withering up and drying up, because the way to be able to increase and release is that as God gives to you, you open up and you give to others. And that is a sure way to experience the power of God and the growth of God. And so he says, I'm not saying this because I have a need. And then he sort of parenthetically goes into a teaching about contentment. He talks about something that he's learned in life over the years. Notice what he says. He says, I'm not saying this because I have a need, for I have learned. I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Now, there are three things this morning that I want you to know about contentment. I want you, if you're taking notes, to write them down. In fact, if you're not taking notes, I want you to take notes. You say, well, I'm not a good note taker. Then tell your wife to take notes. Tell your neighbor, hey, take some notes for me because I want to learn this. Because if you were honest with me this morning and I asked you, do you ever struggle with discontentment? 99% of us here would raise our hand. The other 1% would be lying. And so there's three things that you need to learn about contentment if you're going to grasp it, learn it, and understand it. The first thing you need to learn about contentment, it's found in this verse. The first thing that you need to grasp about contentment is this. Contentment is an attitude that you can learn. Some people kind of have this idea of, well, I'm either born content or born discontent. It's just my personality. No. You can learn contentment. It's something that you can learn. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content. What does that imply? That implies that at one time, the Apostle Paul didn't know how to be content. And it's a skill, a mindset that he had to learn. The word learn here means to repeat often enough so that it gets ingrained in you and you grasp it. Learn means that you've heard it repeatedly, something that's been done repeatedly enough, and so you grasp it. How many of you know that most habits don't just form automatically, but they form because we do something over and over and over again? That's true of good habits and bad habits, right? Some of you have had a real tough time when you came to Christ. Some of you had a real tough time quitting smoking. Now, let me ask you, how did you develop the habit of smoking? Well, you didn't sit down once when you were 14 years old and get a pack of Marlboros and say, I'm going to smoke all 20 cigarettes or 24 cigarettes or how many cigarettes are in the case, and sat down and say, okay, one after another. That's not how you got addicted. Probably the first time you smoked, you puffed a little bit, tried that cool, and coughed, and your face turned blue. But, you know, you thought it was cool to go behind the playground and light up a little bit and let it hang out of the side of your mouth there with other kids. And so to you, it was, hey, I'm cool. And by the time you're 18 years old, you found that you're smoking a pack a day. And by the time you're 24, you can't breathe very well. And by the time you're 25, suddenly you find there's labels over everything saying, warning, 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 this will give you lung cancer, this will kill you, this is bad for you. And you say, okay, I'm going to quit.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a message called The Secret of Contentment, which is from our current series called Joy is a Choice. Straight Talk is a radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago, where Pastor Mark is the senior pastor. At the end of our program, I'll tell you more about New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark, and how you can get a free copy of this message. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. The secret of contentment.
And you try one week and you say, on Monday I'm going to start. Cut back three cigarettes and you're fidgety and you're irritated. You're so crabby, your husband says, please go back to smoking. Try the patch, and you try the gum. And why? Because it's hard to break a habit once you start. But how does a habit start? It starts one at a time, one cigarette at a time. How is the habit of contentment learned? The same way. It's learned one circumstance at a time. You face one circumstance and you learn contentment, and then the next circumstance you face it with an attitude of contentment, and then the next one, and then the next one, and pretty soon you have the habit of contentment flowing in your life, and it's just natural to you, and it just flows out of everything you do. That's the way you learn a habit. And the Apostle Paul says, I have learned to be content. I didn't know it before. I didn't know how it worked. But now I've learned it, and guess what? I've learned to be content in whatsoever circumstances I am. In fact, he says in verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. You say, hey, where do I sign up for Contentment 101? I mean, I want to learn how to be content. Hey, how do I sign up for that course? Guess what? You're already signed up. No registration fee. You're already signed up. It's called life. It's called the course of life. You say, well, how do I learn it? Well, there's two main classes you have to take to graduate. Class number one, it's the class of having need. Notice what he says in verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. That word to be in need means to be brought low. He says, I know what it is to be brought low. I mean, I know what it is to really not have enough, almost not have enough to feed myself. I know what it means to really go through some tough times. You want to learn contentment? You can't learn contentment without going through some hard times. It's the class of being brought low, where you learn, hey, that maybe your business isn't going good. Someone says, hey, how's your business going? Man, I've never had a worse year in all my life. How you doing? I'm doing great, though. God is on the throne. I feel good in my heart. God has a plan and a purpose. And my business is doing terrible, but you know I'm doing great. How you doing in your family? Man, my family's really struggling. I got two kids that are really going through a hard time. They're really struggling. And how are you doing? I'm doing good. And God is good. I'm content. He's on the throne. You see, that's what it means to be brought low. And some of you today are going through the first course. You're going through a really, really tough time. But let me tell you, let me give you a huge news flash. Your contentment does not depend on your circumstances, because contentment is not found out there. Contentment is found in here. You got it? So you say, well, you know, I would be a lot more content if I had this promotion or if I... No, no. Contentment's found in here, not out there. You see, a lot of people really struggle to learn that. Let me tell you what a lot of people think. A lot of people think if they could change four things, the main four things we struggle with discontentment has to do with who I am. Some of you get up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, and you say, I don't really like that. And I'm not really happy with who I am. You see, if I could just kind of change my nose a little bit, or, you know, my hair, if I could just lose some or gain some or be taller or be shorter. And oftentimes we're not content with who we are. We have this discontentment, and we think if I change that, I would be content. That's not true. Because contentment doesn't lie out there. Contentment lies where? In here. And some of us are not content with where we're at. And by I mean where we're at, I mean where do you live? And where are you at in life? And how many people I run into that think they have to move to be happy? And they feel like, you know what? Well, I'm in Chicago. Now, Chicago's good, but winter's coming. How many of you know it's real easy to get discontent in January and February in Chicago? When wind chill is 25 below and... You're freezing walking down the street. I'm moving to Florida. You say, I'm moving to Florida. I'm going to Texas. I'm going to Arizona. I know. I feel the call. And I run into a lot of people that always think if I move, I'll be happy. And they're always thumbing through the magazines and looking for the house in Texas or Arizona or Florida. And you always think, if I just move, my life would be so different and I'd be so happy. And can I tell you this? Listen, if you go to Florida, if you go to Arizona, if you go to San Diego, no matter where you go, I want you to know something, that you will drag all your discontentment with you, because contentment is not about out there. Contentment is about in here. And it's just a matter of time before you'll be discontent again. And sometimes discontentment is about what we do. You say, well, if I could just change what I do. I mean, I'm at this job and it's okay, but I just don't like this part or that part. And I want to just change jobs. Well, let me tell you, there's good parts and bad parts about every job. Some people say, well, I just wish I could work outside. I mean, I love the sun and the weather and to breathe. And yeah, you like it, but remember that January, February. Yeah. Some people say, well, I work outside all the time. I wish I could work inside and do like those computer people do. They just sit at a desk and just do the computer stuff. And some of you would change and you'd go crazy doing that. And you see, there's always something to say, well, I'm not real happy about that. There's always going to be something in your job that you don't like, or something that you wish you could change. And we look and we say, if we could just change jobs, I'd be happy. But really, it's not about out there. Contentment is about in here. Come on, do it with me. Not out there. It's about in here. And then sometimes our contentment or discontentment revolves around the people that we relate to. It could relate to who you're married to or who you're not married to or who your family is or who you live with or what your circumstances are. And I run into people that say, well, I would really be happy if it weren't for my husband. The reason I'm not happy or content with my husband, if I could change him. And if I can't change him, if I could exchange him, then I'd really be happy. Let me tell you, listen, you're not happy or unhappy because of him, because irregardless of who you're married to, or if you're not married, contentment does not rest on your spouse. Contentment is in here, not out there. And so Paul says, I've learned in whatever circumstances I am, I know how to be in need. In others, I know how to be brought low. It's the same word, be brought low, here that's used in Philippians chapter 2 when it talks about Jesus humbling himself, being brought low. Paul says, I know how to be brought low. Some of you need to learn that, or you're in that course of being brought low but still learning contentment. And then he says, and I know how to succeed, or I know how to have plenty. And sometimes success will ruin us more quickly than need will ruin us, right? Yeah. Learning how to be content when you're climbing the ladder of success and you have a lot, but learning how to be content. Someone once asked a Rockefeller, how much money would it take to make someone happy? And he says, just a little more. And that always is the story, just a little more. And so Paul says, contentment is something that's learned. I want to ask you a question. Have you learned it yet? And if you haven't learned it, you need to determine in your mind, this is something I can learn and I will learn and I choose to learn. The second thing I want you to know about contentment is this. Contentment is not based on what you have or don't have. We've reviewed that a little bit, but look what it says in verse 12. It says, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. You say, Pastor, wait a second. Did you say secret? Paul says, I have learned the secret.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the first half of his message called The Secret of Contentment, which is from our series called Joy is a Choice. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.